Any questions on what we've covered in 52 there before we go on? Isn't it amazing how much Isaiah is in the New Testament?
Yeah.
You start to, you know, I had a list of the passages when I started the class, and I counted up the passages, and there's like 80. But every time I'm doing this, I'm like, my mind is going, oh, and I like, I'm picking up more, you know. So I don't know, I lost count. All right, 54 starts a new oracle, but we're still on the same theme, which is the restoration of Zion. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations, and we will resettle desolate cities. Okay. So this is... Now we are seeing Zion, the woman, called a barren one who bore no children. Well, we know that's not true. But Zion bore the Jewish people, but they're in exile. So it's like she's a barren woman who bore no children. But here's the thing, what's going to be exciting for Zion, because she thinks of herself in that capacity now, is that when the redemption happens, she's going to look up and she's going to say, I have this verse here, 49:21. Who has begotten these for me? Because the Jewish people are going to be coming back to Israel. She says, since I have been bereaved of my children and barren and exile and wanderer, who has reared these? Behold, I was left alone. From where did these come from? In fact, so many children are coming back that she's going to say, or they're going to say to each other, the place is too cramped for me. Make room for me that I may live here. And as it says in Zechariah, then Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. All right. So these are prophecies about the restoration, literal restoration of Jerusalem. What are we talking about? Is this new Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, messianic Jerusalem? Well, you know what? Actually, this should be messianic Jerusalem, but we're already there. You know, this is happening in our day and age. We're seeing like the first delivery on this prophecy. Jerusalem real estate is really, really expensive ever since the redemption started, you know, back with Zionism and the formation of the modern state of Israel, and then the liberation of Jerusalem in 1967, and you know, I mean, it's the population is spilled outside those walls. Jerusalem is now a city without walls. Well, there's still walls. There's Old City Jerusalem, but the footprint of Jerusalem has engulfed all the surrounding hills and spilled out to it's a very large population center now. It's exactly as the prophecy depicts it. So the prophet's foreseeing some of this. And if you think that's big, I mean, think about what it's going to be like when all the Jewish people are brought back to the land of Israel. And not just the ones who happen to be alive at the time of the coming of the Messiah, but you know, all the exiles are going to be raised and you know, raised from the dead. You have all that going on, and then you know, then there's going to be, we'll also be caught up with them, and then it also says you know, that the nations are going to be coming up for all the festivals. It's going to be very crowded. But anyway, that's a good thing. So the prophet says, you're going to have to really expand your borders, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. So the curtains refer to the walls of the tent, you know. Lengthen your cords. These are the ropes that hold up the tent. Strengthen your pegs. You know, you're going to have to drive those in a little deeper to get this tent as big as it can. All right, so that's the imagery. The rabbis looked at this as alluding to Sarah, Abraham's wife Sarah. Think about it. Barren woman who has not born children, who now has more children than she can handle. So, you know, like more than the stars and then the sand on the sea shore and so forth. Exactly as was predicted. And she has a tent, right? Because it says Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent, right? And also we know that, you know, Sarah lived in a tent, but she had her own tent. So the sages looked at this, or the authors of the Midrash looked at this and said, well, Isaiah is referring to Sarah here. This is a, not literally, but he's using Sarah as a metaphor, as a symbol for Zion at this point. So in this regard, Sarah uniquely represents Jerusalem. Abraham's wife, Sarah, uniquely represents Zion. So this is where that Midrash comes from that you've doubtlessly heard before. As long as Sarah lived, a cloud hung over her tent. When she died, the cloud disappeared. Well, that's the cloud of glory from the temple. As long as Sarah lived, her doors were wide open. When she died, that liberality ceased. Well, this is, you know, receiving of the pilgrims that would come up for the festivals. As long as Sarah lived, there was a blessing on her dough. This is the holy, the bread of the Sabbath bread, that the priesthood made, and the showbread. And the lamp used to burn from the evening of the Sabbath to the evening of the following Sabbath. This was the menorah in the temple. When she died, these ceased, and so on. So that's the Midrash. And all of that gives us the background for understanding how Paul uses this text in Galatians. Now, this is a whole story in itself. It's a whole study. We could spend one night studying Galatians 4, I think. Yeah, that's the way that Paul uses this passage. But it's in my book, Galatians. It'd be wasting time. You can just read it in the book. Never had a book release party for Galatians. Yeah, what about Sabbath Breaker? I never even got an e-blast for Sabbath Breaker. No, I think we did one. Here's how Paul uses this passage. It says, for it is written... Oh, he just quotes it. What am I going to read it for? Yeah, I just already read it. He quotes it. It's a long quotation. He says, it's written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than those of the one who has a husband. I'm going to just tell you how Paul uses it. We're not even going to go look at it right now. Paul says, you know how Sarah represents Jerusalem? Yeah. He says, well, I see that more as like she represents heavenly Jerusalem. But Abraham had another wife, Hagar. Hagar represents earthly Jerusalem, all right? So Sarah represents, and here's why Paul says so, because Sarah had the promise, whereas Hagar had Ishmael, all right? And the promise was is by faith, you know, that's the faith. Faith in the coming of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Messiah. Whereas, if you just make it happen yourself, in the physical, in the flesh, that's Ishmael. What do you get? You get Ishmael. There's no promise there. Abraham's, you know, takes this younger woman and whoa, it's a miracle. She's pregnant. No, it's no miracle. You know. So this is how Paul uses it. He says, Jerusalem above, that's Sarah. Jerusalem below, that's in the flesh. It's natural. And what these represent, then he takes it one step further. He says, what these represent, then, is two kinds of Gentiles in the world. Two kinds of Gentiles attached to Israel. There's the Gentile in the natural, in the physical, and that's a convert. He converts, becomes part of the Jewish people. But it's through natural means. There's no miracle there. It's not a miracle. Instead, he went through a legal conversion and a ceremony to become Jewish. Now he's Jewish. Yeah. So, no miracle. On the other hand, there's the Gentile that is by faith, a child of Abraham by faith. Faith in the promise of the seed of Abraham, you know, and that through your seed all nations will be blessed. And that corresponds to Sarah, the heavenly Jerusalem, of whom it says, you're going to have to expand your tent because there's going to be so many that are going to be joined. So this is, it's really a beautiful, it's a beautiful midrash on this text. Unfortunately, I think it's, it probably ranks in like the top 10 misunderstood passages in the Bible, somewhere up there. Ordinarily, it's understood to mean that, you know, Sarah represents the New Testament and Christianity, whereas Hagar represents the Old Testament and Judaism. So Sarah represents Gentiles, Gentile Christians, whereas Hagar represents Jews. That's, I think that's the more conventional explanation of the passage. Okay. Now is when we turn the sheet over. Uh-oh. Some really interesting stuff on the back. You should read this. no, we'll bump through this really fast.